Feel Good Inc. Very nice. Just slightly different version to what you're used to there, I think. 6 minutes after seven, it is time to find out what is going on in the mind of one of South Africa's great cartoonists. He's got a new book out. It's already on the shelves. Am I right, Dov? It's already on the shelves?
Probably today.
Ah, very good. So we've got... I got an advanced copy the other day. I was looking through it. Hell of a story, and it's not full of cartoons, as you would expect. It's actually his story.
That's it.
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
It's my life story.
How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir, and it's an education to watch you guys just off the cuff every 3 seconds, a new gag and a new gag and a new gag, and it's impressive.
Well, this is a fun new adventure for us.
I can see that.
So listen, first of all, you're looking good.
Yeah, for... however old I am.
Well,
I certainly am.
Well, let me try and do the math. My maths is terrible. What was it, 1940?
1940.
There we go. So,
yeah, close. Close, close.
Hang on, Ben will figure it out.
And then add 60, 15.
64?
Plus, give it another 11 and you're there.
Ah.
Yeah, so it was plussing 15
to the
60. What are these
for? Do I put these around
yeah,
my...
Yeah, you can put those on.
Because if you want to.
You can keep them off for now. You can put them on just now. If we take calls. Otherwise, you don't.
Okay.
Just relax. You got some water.
Relaxed.
You're chilled. You're settled in.
I'm fine.
Dov, first of all, let's just find out. Thursday, you watched the State of the Nation address?
Yes, the State of the Nation undress.
Hmm.
Yes, well, there's only one issue for me, and that's the blocking of the signal. Everything else pales.
That's the only thing that you worry about.
The rest, I mean, the circus that followed was inevitable. Musi Maimane came out, well, I thought.
He actually starting to look like a leader now.
Very much.
So, I think Helen Zilla's given him enough space.
Absolutely. He was there. He was on the ball. He was quick. He picked it all up. Our speaker, she was so out of her depth.
Mm.
And
well, but apparently she spent the weekend telling everybody what a cockroach Julius Malema is.
Yeah, well.
You know, when people start using the word cockroach for Julius Malema, it kind of...
Yeah, it brings down the tone. She also probably spent a lot of time with her milliner checking on another hat.
What a hat that was. You must have had fun looking at that
only
hat.
Only one thing
I could draw that hat.
The slit in the top for the suggestions.
Someone drew a picture of her with that hat on and they superimposed a KFC bucket.
That's it.
That could be quite
absolutely.
A fun cartoon.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, yeah, that's the problem is that... that's the everyone's going to go in that direction. So where do you find a new road? It's constant.
But you say that the signal is your major issue.
Yes.
Now is that because you're a big proponent of freedom of speech?
Freedom of
expression, freedom of information.
Freedom of information is absolute, and we can't stop it with the tweets and the Twitters and the what have you. I mean, look what's happened across Africa.
Right.
This is the future. You guys are at the cutting edge of that, and you can't withhold the information. The information is what drives us. I mean, how many new bytes of information are there every microsecond that we're talking?
I think if you told a lot of people in South Africa that they could have either running water or free Wi-Fi, they'd take the free Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.
You know?
Not even a discussion. Absolutely.
Are you on Twitter?
Me. Do you want to have my hate relationship with my cell phone? I don't know how to answer the bloody thing.
Have you got a smartphone or an old phone?
I've got the smartest phone there is. It's smarter than me. I can't use the bloody thing. I can't pick up a call. I can't tweet, I can't Twitter, I can't Facebook. My kids have put me onto Facebook. I know where it is on my PC, but I can't get there. And which icon means what? I have trouble with light switches. I'm not a technical kind.
You're
of
a man of pencils and pens.
Pencils and pens, that's me. Pencils right. And pens, what was that song?
It must have been a very old song. Do you still use the fax?
And so it begins, pencils and pens, doesn't the song go
No. We've moved on. Dov, do you still fax?
No, I don't. I don't fax. No, I email.
Okay, that's good.
I email. I draw, I scan, I I add color with, use a computer. I use a VR program. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, no. I scan, color in. I've got one of the oldest programs and the best is a program called Corel Photo Paint 8, and that.
That does it for you.
That does it. It's great for me. It's, they, every year they bring out something new. They ruin it because they take away the simplicity.
Right.
Corel Photo Paint is an instrument and a palette.
Right. That's all you
and
need.
That's it. That's all you need. And then they give you bells and whistles and then you get lost.
When you sit down to draw cartoons, I mean, the first time you ever drew a cartoon and thought, you know what, this is something I can do. How old were you then?
About three. I mean,
3 years old.
I remember seeing this pencil. It's on the cover of my book. Someone was drawing with a pencil, and I said, "That's me." That's what I'm going to do. I knew how to do it. There was no learning curve. It was just straight in.
When you look at someone, can you immediately draw a caricature of them?
No, I'm not a. That's not the way my mind goes. I mean, I look at a face and, if I had to draw a caricature, what would I do with it?
Hmm.
But, I don't live in the world of caricature. That's not where I am. I'm looking for the definitive idea. The cartoon is a realistic subject.
Mm-hmm.
One I did last week was of, two guys beating up, one was the economy and one was the drought. And I drew it very realistically. So the style was dictated by the subject. So I don't look to how you make his head bigger, smaller, whatever it is. The first thing is the likeness. Get it right. You know. So I have guys that I've studied. You'll remember Mad Magazine, Mort Drucker's work.
Who didn't grow up loving Mad Magazine?
Wow. Well, I was there at the beginning of about 1958, the first Mad Magazines, and coming across a cartoonist. You remember Don Martin?
Of course, yeah. He was the main guy in Mad.
We'd never seen stuff like that. It was amazing.
Now, cartoonists throughout history have always been social commentators. But do you sometimes feel like, especially when the news is bad over and over and over again, that you wouldn't prefer sometimes to just draw fun stuff, to just have fun with things?
And how about 24 hours of every day?
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
Exactly.
A lot of it is just turning the same turd over and over. Just turn it over and let's see it again. It's just, some of the stuff is just, I mean, in Kandler, where's the next gag?
That everyone's used up, right?
I think maybe that's what they heard. We'll get bored with it and it'll just disappear.
Well, it's been going on for years now.
Yeah.
It's enough already.
And it's, when the week begins with something like, when something awful happens,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you, I'm relieved there's something I can draw. It's sort of a very mixed bag.
Wow. Okay. You know. So you sometimes feel almost pleased that there was a news story, no matter how bad it was.
If the news was good, I'd be out of business.
Sure. Now, you're still doing a lot of work for all the newspapers. Which ones are you doing?
I draw for the Star. I draw for the Cape Times.
Mercury?
I'm not aware of that. It's all across that Eastern Cape seaboard. It goes to Natal and down and up and down. And Kimberley, the Kimberley something
the
or other.
Diamond Fields Advertiser?
That's the one.
Right.
That's the one. I've never seen one of my cartoons.
Pretoria News?
Yes, Pretoria News.
Yeah, you see, I used to see your cartoons in the Pretoria News. Does it sadden you?
Are you a Pretoria boy?
Yeah.
Wow. I thought you were from Natal. I don't know.
No. Does it sadden you that newspapers are having such a tough time?
Of course it saddens me. Everything has changed. It used to be paper and copy and loud typewriter writers. And then it became the silent things. And then it became the silent world. And now what's happening with newspapers is they're cutting down on staff because the advertising is not coming their way and what drives newspapers.
I hope they're not being schnorrer with you. They're still paying you right?
They pay me all right. Can I say no?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want you to be selling your cartoons at basement prices. You are?
I never said a thing. I never said a word. No.
Well, they don't have the budgets they used to, right?
They don't have the budgets. There's no money in newspapers. It's not a place to hang in if you want to get rich.
Sure.
It's just no money.
So what do you think cartoonists should do if they want
to They keep coming to me for advice. I don't. You've got to get on. Yeah, like I know. You know, I'm kind of known as the oracle. The way I got into it was just happenstance. I had a choice in my last job in advertising. I either killed my boss or resigned. I mean, it was as simple as that. I had two kids. I didn't know where I was going. I said, I'm leaving. I'm never working for another advertising agency. And I walked out, and I was using a photographer. I happened to be doing a shot for Spa Letter.
Mm-hmm.
It was free advertising somebody.
Yeah.
And discussing what I was going to do. He says, I've got an office. I'll let you have an office for 50 Rand a month. Victory House.
Yeah.
Which is back to back with the Rand Club. And I was there for 19 years. And I had a ball. And all this cartoon work came to me from all the advertising agencies because I'd worked in a few of them. I couldn't keep a job in advertising. It was just.
Sounded like it was a bad marriage.
It was a bad marriage. It was. I used to say I was the most talented person I ever worked with. You know, so always.
But isn't it also because when you do your cartoons, when you're deciding what the subject of a cartoon is going to be, it's a solitary enterprise. You don't need anyone else around, right?
You've been reading my notes for when I have to speak next week.
No, this is your thing. You don't need a team of people.
I always wanted my studio to be Cheers. I would like to be behind the bar drawing while everyone's having a party. And
right.
I used to need that buzz. But what you're saying is absolutely right. When I started off, you could buy a million books on how to be a cartoonist.
Yes.
And the first thing they suggested as a piece of equipment was a radio, because you're going to be spending a lot of time alone.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
So what is it, how does your process work? You sit down at your desk.
My process.
No, well, I mean, look, you've been.
No, it's fine.
I'm interested because I always ask artists, ask musicians this. And with music, do you sit, stand in the shower and a song comes to you? Is it while you're driving? You know, for you, you go to your desk, there's a blank sheet of paper, and you think, oh, God, I've got a deadline. Now, what am I going to do?
Okay.
How does it work? Do you make yourself a cup of coffee?
I had a great boss in advertising.
Yeah.
He was a closet cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, how you think is with a pen in your hand. So you have to sit with a piece of paper in front of you. Don't be afraid of the corn. Put down all your corny thoughts, notes.
Uh-huh.
And it's nice to look for connections.
Right.
You know, and those connections will occur. Yeah, they occur. I mean, let's go back to what I was just saying about the hat. Balegambeta's hat. That could be taken. It reminded me of a postbox or a suggestion box. So once you've got that, start there and let it grow. Sometimes I know the drawing's right. And then it's wait for the words to come. And very often, it's that my little poster guy. That becomes the most difficult part of the cartoon because that's just got to be the little tick.
Doc draws a little guy who holds up a poster in the corner of some of the cartoons, and that's where the real caption is.
Well, yeah. It's my little guy. Is there's the big picture, and here's my little guy commenting on it. That's the way I view it, you know. So
you sit there with your pen in hand. Are you on your own in your office? How does it work?
Yeah, generally, I'm working from home. I used to have a studio.
Uh-huh.
I've had a couple of many studios. But now I've got a desk. It's near my bedroom. I get up sometimes in the evening, early morning, or whenever. If I feel I'm struggling, like this week, beyond this discussion with what happened last week, there got to be something else. I can't do six cartoons. That's what I do. I do six cartoons a week.
And you're tired of Eskom and you're tired of Nkandla.
Yeah,
so you got to find something new.
That's the problem.
Okay, so what if you wake up at 3 in the morning? Suddenly, idea. You go and draw straight away?
at 3 in the morning, it's not possible that I wake up because my still knocks kicks in till
half past 6. Sleeping medication, huh?
Absolutely. I can't sleep without sleeping medication.
Really?
Yeah, I can't.
You're like Michael Jackson.
Listen, the number of pills that I have had to take every night, I mean, this is strictly I take like 11 pills every night.
Oh, my God,
night.
Hang on a second. Do you have a special box for all of these? Sort them out Monday.
It takes me 10 minutes to make sure that I've got my Lyrica for my
sciatic nerve. Right.
Then I've got my... I've just gone blank for my
cholesterol. For your Alzheimer's?
For my cholesterol. And then I've got to take half a Disprin. And then I've got to...
Is that for to open up the blood vessels a little bit?
Yeah.
Thin the blood out?
That's it. Right. There's
so much.
You've
got the Stilnox to help you sleep?
The Stilnox has helped me sleep. There's the pain for the sciatic pain. So I've got Panado plus... Tremel.
Yeah.
Wait, when you get to the
this guy, he must have a pharmacy at your house. Mubs, this guy's got a lot of medication.
Wait, I have a marvelous biography about Lenny Bruce.
Oh yeah,
not the
comedian.
One that we all know, but this is a brilliant one. And the opening chapter is about him arriving at a hotel in New York. And he takes out his stash of drugs. And I tell you, it could... you could heal Africa with what he had in that suitcase. Yeah. Now, listen, that's the...
It's a lot of medication, though.
It's a lot of medication. What can I tell you? It's all prescribed.
Have you ever mixed it up and ended up with terrible side effects?
Never.
Like hallucinating at 2 in the morning?
Never.
No? Okay,
never,
good.
Never.
Do you have a specific box for all the different pills?
No, it's an old sort of zip-out bag, and I fit them on my bed and make sure this is my prescribed meds, which I have to take.
It's 3 in the morning is out. So what time does the Stilnox wear off?
The Stilnox wears off, let's say, about 6:30.
Okay.
I mean, to get here, this is still the middle of the night. You've got to
understand. I mean,
coffee would be arriving
basically,
now.
You were lying there, you were drooling on my sofa just now.
Absolutely.
Fast asleep.
There you go. No, it was the conversation in here that was making me drool.
Now, your book.
Yeah.
Because we can come back to the cartoons just now. But this is
enough of cartooning.
This is a departure from the usual.
Absolutely.
A cartoonist who's not going to give us a book of cartoons. You've done those before.
Yeah.
This is now your story, a memoir.
Yes.
And they chose it's a very nice picture of you on the front, but I think you could look less grumpy.
Well, it's difficult. It's difficult. It was a one-off opportunity. Now, the weird thing on that shirt, there are some cartoon characters. We had to Photoshop them so that they didn't look, that they weren't the real characters that were.
Did you have to Photoshop them?
I had to Photoshop out the faces. I had to change that and get a friend of mine who can Photoshop to clean it up for me.
But now it looks like it's a threesome. It's three dogs having sex.
They were chasing after Tweety Pie,
who
was on the other side of the shirt.
But he's gone.
And he's gone.
So it's meant to be Sylvester, I would imagine.
There's Sylvester and some sort of wolfish character.
The story of your family is quite interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, I think this is the story for a lot of South Africans of Lithuanian Jewish descent, that they kind of, you know, there was this land of opportunity, but it was also a question of being chased away from Lithuania. There were the pogroms and the ghettos, and it was not a pleasant place to be. Many... South African Jews owe their roots to that whole story.
All, I would say.
Perhaps all. What happened then is that your dad set up this little printing business, and he and your mom had two kids already, and you were an unplanned third edition.
I was a big mistake.
Now, this put huge stresses on the finances of the family because, you know, a baby's an expensive thing.
Very tough times. Not for me, because...
No, you didn't care. You were just siphoning off the money, you know?
All the money. Yeah, it was so much money. It was, It was a strange time to be born because of the, my mother's family were being murdered in Europe. She knew all about it. And then suddenly she gets saddled with a baby. And then I write about it. She has this nervous breakdown when I'm 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And I remember it. I remember seeing my mum on a bed sort of just broken. My sister says, "You can't remember that." I do. I remember it. But you know what? Life is fraught with all kinds of, I don't know. I've had the luckiest life. I've had the luckiest career. Things just fell into place for me because I'm not good at organizing where and what and how. You strike me as someone so cliff center. Cliff centered. Very centered. You know who you are, where you're going, what you want to achieve. I sort of drifted this way, don't I? I fell into this job of drawing for the newspaper. Here I am 50 years later, still there. And at the top of it, you know what I mean?
You are. You're preeminent. But my point is that it must have been pretty difficult when you were little to have your mom lying there having a nervous breakdown. You're still a baby. You're so dependent.
You're doing other things. You know, you've got so many activities. It was Kenneke season and it was top season and whatever it was, and there were kites being, so your attention, you're taking it all in.
Did your mum ever really come back from that?
No. My mum was, when we left Mayfair, and Mayfair was this beautiful little community. And as I say, it wasn't just the Jews. It was a ghetto of Lebanese and
Mayfair was
my best mate was Raymond Kutsi, and his cousin who lived in the back room was Al Debo. It was stand-up comic.
Yeah, with a funny face.
Yeah, in 1944, 45, I had we played soccer. We played games. So I don't remember. I didn't suffer that much as a kid. I always had the drawing. You know,
you had all this interesting stuff happening around
all
you
the
too,
time.
And
yeah.
You were exposed to many different kinds of
Absolutely.
Cultures. Do you think that helps when you're a kid? If you grow up in only your community and it's people like you, you don't necessarily get the world as well.
Well, a lot of people remain in their ghettos, don't they? They don't break out. I was lucky. I got out into all sorts of other things. You
get
know?
Into trouble? Did you do naughty things and get...
No.
Not.
I'd like to say I did, you know, but I didn't. I mean, I regret that. I smoked a little broom once. I learned to draw with my left hand, which I can still do to this day, because I smoked a joint.
Really? Because of the joint?
Because of the joint.
How does that work?
I have no idea.
So suddenly you smoked a bit of weed, and then the next day
I'm
you could draw with your left hand.
I'm talking about 1 centimeter.
Yeah, okay, but I'm not going to judge.
I sat down, I took the pen, I put it in this hand, because you never think of doing
while you were high?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I drew the most perfect drawing.
Mm-hmm. You still got it?
The drawing, yes. In fact, my first cartoon, it's an incredible drawing. it's not something I pursued.
No, sure.
You know, I never.
But what a talent to discover. Let's just go back to your mum for a second. So you were saying you moved out of Mayfair and then?
We moved to Greenside. And Greenside was like a totally different ball game because there was no racism as such in Mayfair. But Greenside, I mean, we lived next to these people, and they did not want to associate with us. We were like, whew, you know, we'd brought down the neighborhood.
What were they? That they were so special?
I think their surname was Italian, but they were anglicized Italian. And
they didn't like the idea of having Jews living next
no
door?
No way. And the rule was, park the golf course, no Jews, no dogs allowed. You know, that's down the road from where
I live. Think about this now. This is in living history.
Living history.
And you know, this is why people say, oh, but you know, 20 years after democracy, we should be getting on with it.
Like, but we
all
are.
Is forgiven.
You see, this is...
I mean, you know, Dov, up to what? Just a few years ago, people were still being Jews and dogs and blacks, and it's just ridiculous,
man. Yeah, but
man.
It's over. Look, we went yesterday to Doppio Zero in Greenside for lunch. It's around the road from where I live. it's such a mix of people now. You know, it's
sure, but it's embarrassing that we had to take so long to get there.
The wheels are turning. It's turning. It's changing. We're on the superhighway. We just can't see it for the moment.
I'm hoping so. So these people next door to you, they hated you guys.
They just didn't want the children to be contaminated by.
So you couldn't play with your neighbors.
Couldn't even talk to them. They weren't, weren't allowed to talk to me. Never, you know, it's the strangest.
And coming out of Mayfair, where everybody was.
Yeah, it was just great. You know, it was. I mean, you get picked on in because I was always big. No. So, come, you're at your old sickle, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, you know. But I was a great negotiator. I never had a fight.
Good
I was
for you.
Devout chicken. Always.
Yeah, but
always.
There's a skill in that, too, is getting yourself out of trouble.
Absolutely. I could talk. My brother was with a guy being chased by the kids, and that stayed in the family. And he shouted. And my brother was worked in a factory, so he had a really thick accent. He said, "Don't be afraid. Just run."
Tell me about the move and how it affected your mom.
My mom, that just broke her. She lost all her friends. She sat alone. She didn't have any. She used to sit in this gloomy dining room, and she wrote this really sentimental poetry. My mom never went to school, but she wrote what she called poetry. My dad was a printer eventually. We moved into Greenside in 48. Mm-hmm. In 1949, she had this massive heart attack. Mm-hmm. And she was, in those days, I didn't know how to treat things. So she was hospitalized for 3 months, which turned her into a cardiac cripple. And she knew, and I knew from the time I was nine, that my mom was going to die soon. So those 4 years were tough. And she was just in a constant state of depression. So that was tough.
Must be hard for a kid when, because we didn't understand depression did we?
Yeah, no, we didn't. We did lots of things we didn't understand. But you know what? It all is part of. I don't regret any of it. I don't regret.
How can you regret it?
I had cancer. I had a kidney removed. I had a ureter removed.
How long ago was that?
Going on for 12 years. Been in and out of hospital for the last. For that period, just for checkups for the last 3 years.
But they've managed to get the cancer out?
Well, it little seedlings went to the bladder. And I had to go in every 3 months to have these things removed. As my doctor said, they're like pimples, but they're on the inside. So it's another anesthetic. And so you go through this thing. But when I had my kidney out and I spent 9 days in the hospital, I say, I wouldn't have missed that for the world because I learned so much about nurses and nursing, etc. It just elevated my life. I don't want to live forever. 75 is not a bad score.
No.
It's respectable.
But 75 now, let's be fair.
Yeah, okay.
75 now is totally
22.
Different.
What's
it is.
It's easier for you guys to talk.
Come
you
know, on.
What are you, 23? What is he?
I met a guy the other day.
What is he, 16? What is it?
I met a guy the other day. He's Donald Trump's second in command.
Yeah.
A guy called George Ross. 87 years old. He's still running his business at the Trump Organization. I mean, the guy's vital. He's got time. You know, that gives you another 14 years before you even get to his age.
You're so right. I know. The work keeps you young and fresh. And the thing is, associated with young people, I avoid what were my friends.
No, you stay away from them, huh?
I try as hard as I can. I like to, you know, the younger buzz, you pick up things from the younger people. The other guys, they settle and it's all reminiscing. And I don't want to go there.
And how many kids and grandkids are we talking here?
Only three. Two are in Australia. One is here.
Children or grandchildren?
No, I've got three daughters. Okay. One's in Australia and two are here.
No grandkids yet?
Who? Where?
You.
What? Me have grandkids. Yes. I'm just telling you, I've got...
Oh, sorry.
One here. I've got three daughters.
No need to get so ornery so early on in the day.
No.
I know there's still knocks.
It's not coffee. It's the other stuff that's kicking in.
All right.
The Agropolis. What am I taking? I don't remember what it's called. I've got two grandchildren. I've got the one daughter who lives in Australia.
Yes.
And if you'll check her out, her new book, which is also just released, is number one on Amazon in Australia.
You're kidding me. What is it about?
It's about bringing up teenagers.
Well, there's an evergreen topic.
There you go.
Whoever gets that right. You reckon she's got it right?
In the book, she's got it right.
are you pleased with these grandkids? Do they make you happy?
Yeah. Well, you know, what can
I say? Are
they
fine specimens? Does she deserve to be number one on the Amazon bestseller list?
No, she deserves to be number one. She's she's hardworking. And she writes well. She wrote a great book called When Hungry Eat. It's just good writing.
And, tell me, did any of them inherit your skill for drawing?
That's the weird part. No. My granddaughter in Australia could do anything. She's a great musician.
Mm-hmm.
She can... No, nobody has that... You know, I couldn't stop drawing. I was drawing all day, every day. You've got to put in the time. And none of them are dedicated to that. My eldest daughter... showed some talent, but it wasn't driven. It wasn't driven to that. She does ceramic and stuff now, but it's not the same. No.
So there's an artistic ability there, but it's different. Did you always want to work for Walt Disney? I heard that about
as a child.
You did.
Oh no, that was it was Walt Disney. You didn't know anything else.
Sure.
And then I got to go to Disney World in 1979. And we couldn't wait to get out. It was just such a crap. It was just ornery, kitschy, American crap, you know.
Yeah.
And we managed to sneak onto there was a hotel with a beach there. And it was very hot, it was in Florida.
Yeah.
And we sat down on this perfect white sand, and I picked the sand up, and the sand was made of plastic.
No.
I swear.
Really?
It was plastic.
This is in Disney World.
In Disney World.
Oh, my God. How horrible.
It was just a pit. So, yeah, you know, I started there. And then things later on, I write in the book, my cousin, who became a well-known architect of this whole of Sandton City, he's like one of the main drivers of building this whole place, suddenly was buying these cartoon books. And I came across this... Saul Steinberg, who for me is the god of cartooning, who people don't know.
Yeah.
He's just an amazing cartoonist. So I saw this when I was about 9 or 10. Aha! That's what this is about. And then later, in magazines, my aunt had the cafe. I'd seen a magazine called Pageant. Jules Pfeiffer became he did cartoons for a paper called The Village Voice in New York. And these became my...
inspiration.
My inspiration. And there's Pogo. Have you ever read Pogo?
No.
You don't even know what Pogo...
I know nothing. Look at me. I'm a nudnik.
You know nothing. you should go pick it up on the internet. Pick up
Pogo.
Pick up Pogo, P-O-G-O, Walt Kelly, who had worked for Disney but took it to another level, turned into political comment, or Lil Abner, which was done by...
Little Abner.
He made a musical of it.
And
those were political, socio-political. That's the sort of thing I wanted to do. I wanted to do a comic strip that had some sort of...
some gravity,
satire.
Some depth, some meaning.
Yeah.
In other words, not just pictures.
No.
Is it true that you have never been to Europe?
I've never been to Brakpan, and I've never been to Europe.
I've never been to Europe. You've never been? Is it because you have no interest in going?
No, it's not. No. I have this. My eldest daughter's hard of hearing.
Oh.
And we were...
So, what?
Yes. How do you sell a rabbit to a deaf man? You want to buy a rabbit?
So you were saying about your daughter?
Yeah, let me see. You want to hear a real Jewish joke with an old Jewish accent?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. There's A.B. meets his friend Jaime. He says, you see this hearing aid? He says, how much is that hearing aid? He says, it's 50,000 rand. 50,000 rand for this hearing aid. He says, why so much? He says, you can take this from the top of the Carlton Center, drop it in the street. It's still working. He says, how much did you pay for it? He says, it's 2:30.
All right, you were telling me about your daughter. Come on. So get back on track here.
What was I telling you?
The daughter's hardly
hearing.
What? Jesus. Come on, Dov, we're losing our minds here.
What were you saying about her?
No, you were saying about her. You said, Europe.
Why we never went? Because we were so busy taking her to speech therapies, and we got involved in the society which pushed them into normal schools. My daughter went to a normal school. She never went to something like St. Vincent's or anything.
Right, school for the deaf.
And she used to have to go for speech therapy every day.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't. We once had a chance to go to Portugal, etc. But I was anxious that we would miss out and that she would miss out. So just time passes, you know.
Right.
So I've been to America. I've been on it in the days of TFC tours. Did a lightning trip to the Far East, to Hong Kong, Tokyo, Taipei.
Right.
People
used to do that like a shopping trip, right? That was the whole thing. In and out of this bizarre world.
And I've been to America a couple of times, and that's it. I've just never, ever got there.
What do you think of Australia, really? I mean, you got grandkids and a daughter. What do you think of the place?
If you were
a cartoonist in Australia, would you have killed yourself already? You'd be so bored?
But strangely enough, they've produced an incredible cartoon. It's a guy called Michael Lunig.
Mm-hmm.
You must know Lunig, L-E-U-N-I-G.
Mm-mm.
And he was a political cartoonist working in Melbourne. And he's just started to do this whimsical stuff, which is where you really want to go with it. And he's become an institution. He's like a legend in Australia. And they ran him in... I don't remember the name. Was it the Sunday Star, the Sunday Independent? At some, they used to run his cartoons.
Yeah?
Michael Lunig. And his stuff is just terrific. But, yeah, what you're saying is, I don't know how I would adjust to living there. It's kind of dull.
It just seems to me like a kind of society where everybody toes the line, everything's within rules, there's nothing exciting on the horizon.
Which is very, when you arrive, the streets are spotless.
Yeah.
The garbage gets taken away, etc. So, we look around here, we see litter, we see this. There's something incredibly vital. Here we were talking about what happened last week. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
I can't live in a totally drugged state.
No, but I want something halfway.
Don't we all?
And I think it's possible. I really do. Do you think that you will be drawing until the very last day?
I want to drop dead there with the pen in my hand. Absolutely. I'll never know. I'd like to have a break. I'd like to write more.
Mm.
Because
my book,
I'll say this about my book. My book is as good as my best cartoons. It had to be. It took me long enough to write, and I'm very pleased with the result. I'd like to write more. I'd like to paint. I can paint, but I'm not the greatest painter, you know.
Did it take you a long time to write the book?
Got down in 3 months, but I worked on it for 30 years.
Yeah, well, this is your story. Was it difficult to write? Because
once I found my dad's voice, and I found my dad's sense of humor there. My dad had this grand sense of
humor. But he wanted you to be a dentist. He didn't want you to be a cartoonist.
Why? Because he struggled. He said, you'll be a dentist. Why do you want to be a dentist? Because you'll be called doctor.
Uh-huh.
And you won't be called out at night. And you'll have respect and you'll have a good living. I asked him on the
virtue all these of the, years later, was he right? You should have become a dentist.
Not what I've seen of dentists. No, he was wrong. He was wrong. The highest suicide rate is amongst dentists. Everybody hates him. But it was a question of economics. He thought that would be I'd earn a good living. I asked him virtually on the day he died. He had I knew he wasn't long for this world because he was anemic and blah blah. He was going in for a transfusion, and I said, "Dad, I don't know anything about your grandfather."
Yeah.
Your grandfather.
In other words, your great grandfather.
My great grandfather. Yeah. What did he do for a living? I was interested. Where did I come from? You know, the name Fiddler comes from Fiedler, comes from Fiddler on the Rewrite School. Hmm. Used to call me Fiddler.
He's that's a very rich man.
That's right. Oh, you know that. He make a grand, tell you.
Thank you.
He's dancing on the... He's dancing. Get off the table, don't stop it.
So what did he say about your great-grandfather?
He said... He thought about it. He said, What did he do for What was his profession? I said, what was his profession? He says his profession was making a living.
There we go.
That was it. That was the motive.
Whatever
brought in the bucks, that's what you did.
There we go. He'd sell what he needed to sell. He'd say what he needed to say. He'd do what he needed to do.
He wanted, he had better aspirations. My dad wanted to be an editor of a newspaper. That, he had an aspiration. When he got into printing, he found that he was very talented as a compositor. He could do things that other guys. He was very inventive. My dad had creative skills. I get a lot from him.
Do you think that maybe you became a cartoonist also because, I mean, our dads play a huge role in our lives, right? Your dad had such admiration for the newspaper world and for publishers and for editors. Don't you think somewhere in there you drawing cartoons for the most important newspapers in the country would have impressed your dad?
Yeah, he's not just a pretty face. That was a damn good question. I never thought of that. That's a deep question.
Maybe some part of you is satisfied.
I've never thought of that. I think that's a very deep insight. I've never thought of that. I'm going to think about that one now. Yes,
because you could have become a dentist, but this is almost
couldn't happen.
But this is almost a better way of you saying, "Hey, Dad, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with the editors. I'm doing what you always wanted to do,
Absolutely. But
I'm doing it my way.
Absolutely.
And you're bringing in that creativity that you say he had when he arranged things.
You know
things.
What? I mean, I left advertising. I didn't know what I was going to do. And the opportunity to work for newspapers, which I just grabbed it. And that was, and John Mayer, whose name you must know well, who I got started in his career, I introduced him to, what's his gallery? God, it's so famous.
The Everard Reed?
Everard Reed. I introduced him to Everard Reed. Everard Reed was across the road from me. And John, who now earns money like, it just falls out of the sky into his lap. John's, we shared the studio.
Must be nice.
John is a Clarksdorp, half Afrikaans, half Irish. He's half Kelly. And Mayer is an Afrikaans Mayer.
Yes.
And he said, as long as people can buy you for 20 cents or 10 cents, in those days, you're never going to sell any pictures. I could have elected to have a career which is more lucrative.
Uh-huh.
Newspaper is not a place where you earn a lot of money.
No.
But you're right. I stayed with it, and I'm happy.
I wonder also, did your dad get to see your success?
Oh, yeah. My dad was retiring as a printer, and he went to Evelyn Haddon, which is the biggest supplier of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm retiring. I'm going to print a book of my son's cartoons. You will give me 2 reams of this for all the years that I was your customer. And he produced this book, which is like 250 pages. He did 250 copies, which he handed out to everybody. And it's a selection of cartoons. And he was so... He was like my biggest fan. He should put all my... He made big albums, which I couldn't keep because they were the size of a room, like a wardrobe of mine. He was very inventive and made all these things with all my old drawings pasted in. And, you know, today one wants to retrieve them out. Those things are lost and scan them because...
Of course, otherwise they disappear.
They'll disappear.
Listen, Dov, it's a pleasure to see you, man.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah, and I've been a fan of yours for a long time, so it's a delight to actually catch up with you. Your new book, Out of Line, is available from today.
That's what the lady said.
That's what the publishers are telling us. From today, in all good bookstores. If the bookstore doesn't have this book, it's not a good bookstore.
Already the right thing to say.
Right.
Don't go to that bookstore.
I hope they sell like hotcakes.
Thank you.
And please keep drawing for us. Please.
Thank you.
It's very important what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Very, very important. Dov Fedler, South Africa's preeminent cartoonist. What an honor to have him here this morning. A really, really interesting guy. Great stories. What a life, huh, Mubs?
Very funny as well.
Absolutely.
With the jokes and everything.
With the jokes. What with the jokes? All the jokes. All right. He's busy asking you questions, Mubs.
I know.
All right. Let's get on with it.